Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to lock your two friends in a room until they get along? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I love a Javier-centric, it wasn't really a Javier-centric episode, but a good Javier episode. And Javier at a party and being a curmudgeon, was that the word that Felicity taught us? Maybe not.
No, a Budinsky.
A Budinsky. Yeah, I forgot. Budinsky, I forgot. But it's so good. I love Javier episode. This was a very interesting episode of Felicity. I'm really excited to talk it all with you today.
Yeah, this was a wild episode. So much happened. High highs, low lows. We're going to get into all of it. Season 3, episode 5, surprise. Sarah, I can't help but think that every time we watch an episode with a surprise party, you're like really sad while watching because you just want a surprise party for yourself.
I really, really, really do. I really want a surprise party. I just feel like I just, for whatever reason, I feel like it's the highest showing of somebody caring about you. That it's like I throw so many parties for myself and for others. So for somebody to say, hey, I care about this person and I want to throw them a party so they feel loved and appreciated, and I want it to be a surprise so they don't have to deal with the stress of planning their own party. I mean, it couldn't be any better. And I got to be honest with you, if I was not a Team Noller, I would be like, wow, Benny Boy is such a good boyfriend. He got a gift. He has a dinner planned. He did a party. He was going to get her ribs. He did all these freaking things. He was like really, really trying. And then in reality, Felicity was hoeing down, taking naked photos at the fraternity party after 5 too many Jello shots. And you know, she weighs a pound and a half. You know, she ate 4 Jello shots and she was on the floor blackout drunk.
Wow. There's so much I need to reply to in that one. Yes. Number one, never been happier to be Team Ben for the most part this episode, because he really went all out. Like, and I do think this is a testament to how much he cares about Felicity, because we've seen what kind of speech he made at Julie's surprise party back in the day. Was it in like season one?
Oh.
And this was like leaps and bounds better. He's like organizing everything. He's attempting to get ribs from some place they stopped at on their road trip, which was that, so sweet and kind.
That was so romantic. I've never thought that ribs were more romantic.
Yeah, he really went all out. He's like getting all the friends over. He's even doing the whole like, oh, I forgot my wallet at the loft, like just to do the surprise aspect.
Yeah.
He got her really nice paint set, which I thought was super thoughtful. Like he's doing absolutely everything for Felicity, and the timing couldn't be worse with everything going on with the fraternity. Now we may never get the answer to this question of like, was Felicity just drunk? Did someone roofie her? Like, was it literally just that she drank too much and was blackout drunk, or was something else involved? Luckily, we now know that she didn't actually sleep with Randy. He was like a decent gentleman and didn't take advantage of her being drunk and just put her to bed. The downside being he is a typical college-aged male, and he let all his friends believe they slept together, which is kind of what ends up causing even more friction between Felicity and Ben. But I have hope that they will pull through this. I don't think this is irreparable by any means.
No, I mean, so the issue is, and ultimately what bothered Ben the most, was that Felicity had opportunity to tell Ben the truth, and she did not tell the truth in times when she could have. So a great example is when he met Randy at the bar and Felicity lied and said, that was some guy from my class. That was a bad lie. Also, Felicity got really, really, really shitty advice from a lot of people this episode.
Seriously, though.
And I feel as though, like, Felicity really, really wanted to tell Ben, but between Dr. Pavone and Noel, like, she kept getting, like, really bad advice. And then she was about to tell him before, like, the surprise party, but then certainly the surprise party happened. So I feel as though it was just like kind of a mess. She did. Okay. Where she messed up was, I mean, she should have told him the situation the morning after, honestly, but if she needed time to process, understandable, she definitely should not have lied about him. In the thing. And then when like the photo became public, like she definitely should have shared with him. The issue is that, is this a case of like people don't break up with their boyfriends around like their birthday month or Christmas because you don't want to like ruin Christmas or their birthday for him? Was she like, I don't want to ruin my birthday, so I'm going to just wait until after my birthday?
I think you're right. And I think she would have told Ben earlier, if not for the really shitty advice that she gets this episode. I think at the time, like, I think she's about to tell him before they even go into the restaurant. And then he's like, oh, I forgot my wallet. Let's go back to the loft.
Yeah.
I think there's multiple times where she's trying to tell him, but obviously you can't tell him in front of an entire group of people at your own surprise party. But I think, gosh, there's so much terrible advice being given to her. Like, I think her gut instinct is correct in tell him. And I think you just say it's so easy to say this, but like, I think it's, you just say the full truth, which is, I went to a frat party. I don't know what happened. I either drank too much or like someone put something in my drink. I woke up the next morning. I have no idea what happened. I'm trying to figure it out. But I think also reassure him, I've taken plan B. I've taken an STD test. Because the other thing, Sarah, to keep in mind is like, and I don't know if she, I think she did say she was all clear of STDs, but like, don't sleep with Ben until you get confirmation of that either. And I'm not saying she did. I'm just saying like, these are the things where like only more reasons to tell him is for the reason of like, okay, well, what if she had something? Like, you don't want to give that to Ben.
Right. I guess like my question is like, did she take a rape kit? Like, did she get a rape kit? And like,
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think she just got, I think she got Plan B and an STD test
panel. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was curious because she was like, I was all clear. And then like, I took the test and I kind of felt more confident that nothing happened. And my only thing, like, okay, did you, once again, like, did she get a rape kit? And like, there was nothing found within that, which is like proof that she didn't have unprotected sex with this guy.
I think so. At the very end, when Ben does come to her apartment and try to have like a conversation, she says like, I talked to Randy and he said we didn't sleep together and I believe him. Mm-hmm. So I think that in her mind was like confirmation enough. But yeah, it's all really bad. And I obviously, Felicity is the person to blame in terms of like, she did the thing, whether maybe she was drunk, maybe who knows. But like, I think Ben rightfully says, I'm not upset about that. I'm upset that you like lied to me and you didn't tell me this whole time. Like you could have told me. Yeah. And I think like Tony's advice is fucking garbage. Like truly bad.
I have been saying that Tony is not a good therapist for a good while now. And I feel so justified that Tony is a really shitty therapist. I'm glad that Felicity is getting therapy. I'm glad that she's talking to somebody. It should not be Tony. Like Tony is so horrid.
Yeah, she's done smoking, which is good. But maybe it's those like nicotine gum or something that's like addling her brain in some way, because this was just bad advice of like, yeah, don't tell your boyfriend that this whole thing happened. And then Noel's advice is also trash. Like Noel sees this photo of a topless Felicity at a frat party and knows that it's being emailed around and somehow has this hope of all hopes that Ben won't see it. Like this just is such trash advice. Like at that point, you really have to tell Ben because it's even more likely he's going to see the photo. Like it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I feel like Noel was like, please, Ben is really trying hard for this party. Don't ruin the party for Ben. It's like, okay.
Okay, what's going to ruin the party for Ben is finding out that his girlfriend was topless at a frat party and may or may not have slept with someone. Like, yeah. It's all around bad advice. Felicity is really like sneaking around this episode too. Like she's trying to get in touch with Randy. I felt bad for her because she is trying. Like she, in her mind, it's at least it seems, she was like, once I have the answer to what happened, then I will tell Ben because I'll be coming to him with complete information. But yeah. I mean, you're not necessarily going to get information right away. And like, who knows if the information you're getting is even necessarily reliable, you know?
I mean, that is very true. The issue. So it's so confusing and I've never been in this position. So I can't imagine like being blackout drunk and having to put together the pieces of the night before and not knowing what you've done or what you haven't done. So, I mean, I really feel bad for Felicity. And I do think it's like good to kind of get the complete picture. However, it's just like when she lied to Ben about who Randy was, where I feel like she really fucked up because mm-hmm. It just makes him not trust her.
And yeah, especially because if you know you're eventually going to tell him the truth, then you're going to have, he's going to be like, who was it? And she's going to be like, oh, remember that guy I told you I was in a class with? Like, it was that guy. Like, it just, it's not going to be good. She's spiraling. I mean, to a certain extent, I understand, like, I want to have sympathy for Felicity because she seriously has no idea what happened. And so that is already pretty scary. She doesn't know if she has an STD. You know, she's taking Plan B. Like all of these things are really intense things to be happening to a person. And I think she's more susceptible to bad advice in those moments. And so I think when you have your therapist and a trusted friend telling mm-hmm. you, no, don't tell him, don't ruin this surprise party that he's throwing for you, I can understand why it's easy to be like, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to tell him until I have all the information. But I don't know. I want to ask you what you thought of Ben's reaction to all of this. Like, was it overblown? Like, how do you feel like he overreacted?
I honestly don't think so. Like, at least in the initial conversation, it was so awkward because he was at this party that he was throwing for her. Everybody that they know is there. Like, he doesn't know what's up or down. He decides to go to the frat party or the frat house himself and get the information. And then he's told, not even by Randy himself, that they slept together, which feels like even more of a lie, because in the moment that they were found out, Felicity says, I went to this frat party, I drank too much, I blacked out, and I have no idea what happens. So that's number one. So he goes to the frat party, I think because he's mad because this photo of her is released, right? Or is he mad at her? Oh, but also because Randy's in it and she lied about not or knowing Randy from where Randy's from. Right? Like, the reason why he goes straight to the frat house was to yell about, like, defending his girlfriend about having this, like, naked photo posted, which is admirable. Maybe he should have, like, done it with her or let her handle it. But also, I mean, I think that if, like, my partner, like, knew that there is a, like, a photo of me released, like, I feel like he would be protective over me. And then it gets even worse when, like, oh, now it's not just a lie about, like, what happened that night and who this Randy guy is. Apparently, I'm hearing from, you know, these random bros that, like, she slept with him. And so I feel as though, like, he at that, like, what other reaction is there than to be absolutely gutted and upset?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I don't think he necessarily overreacted straight out the gate, right? Like, he left the party, he goes to the frat house to confront these guys. Again, totally fair, considering they shouldn't be posting this photo of Felicity where she's, like, nearly nude all over the internet. Like, that's not okay. So understandable that he does that. I think where I think he maybe needed to calm down a bit was later when he goes to Felicity's apartment. I feel like if you are going to her apartment to have a conversation about this, you can't, you have to, like, give her at least 3 minutes to speak before mm-hmm. you then stomp away in frustration. You know what I mean? Like, I think let her explain herself a little bit before you then leave. If you're the one approaching the situation, it's different if she comes to your apartment, but you are going to her apartment. I feel like you need to give her a little bit of space to kind of say her piece. And I don't really think he did. I understand he's, like, super upset. So, like, obviously he's going to be quick. I think, you know, we know he's had a little bit of a history with having a temper. I think he sometimes struggles to, like, control his anger in those moments, and obviously better for him to leave the situation if that's the case. But I mean, we don't want him elbowing Felicity in the face like he did to Sean. But yeah, I understand where he's coming from, like, in terms of wanting to protect Felicity and wanting to find out the truth because he doesn't trust her now because she lied to him. That's all super fair. And especially, like, oh, it just must be so much worse considering how much trouble he just went to plan this party for her. Like, he got all her friends together. He's ordering these ribs, which didn't end up working out. He's, like, getting her this paint set. He's really trying to make her day the best it can be. And then to find out that she's been trying to, like, hide something from you all day. That's brutal. I feel bad for Ben. I do think they're going to get through it, but obviously there's going to be broken trust there, and I'm curious to see if there's, like, long-lasting mistrust as a result of that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Is Felicity going to be, like, doing a class project or something, like a group project with a guy, and Ben is going to be like, I don't trust you around him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I think so. I think that's a big relationship killer, is when you can't trust your significant other.
Yeah.
And I think that's something, if it's not something that you work through together immediately, then it's something that's going to pop up in like 1 year's time, 3 years time, 5 years time. It's going to continue to be a plague on your relationship. And sometimes for some people, once the trust is lost, it's absolutely gone and it's hard to get back.
Especially because we know Ben isn't always the best at like communicating his feelings. Mm-hmm. And so I think we either get the situation where he says he forgives her and then bottles up some of the like residual resentment he has, or there's something that happens later that like it brings back the mistrust he's had of Felicity and he doesn't really speak up about it. Like I'm a little concerned for their relationship at this point. And we're only 5 episodes into the season. Like this is a brand new relationship, Sarah. Like they've been dating what, 3 months? She's a Scorpio. So it has to be what, like November ish.
Yeah.
So they've been dating maybe 4 months, I guess. But that's still a very new relationship, especially to have this much stuff rocking the boat, if you will. Mm-hmm.
I also want to point out that Ben already has trust issues when it comes to his parent. So I think that people that abuse his trust is probably something that he carries with him into his other relationships and is probably very sensitive to. So if I had to predict like what's going to be the Felicity killer of the relationship, I would say that this has a lot to do with it. And it's the two parts. Because I am very prone to like sweeping things under the rug. Like I don't want to upset everybody. So sometimes I try to like sweeten a white lie, right? Well, the lie is often more damaging than the initial thing, the initial sin. And I have to catch myself being like, no. Like, we don't need to protect ourselves like we did when we were children. We don't have to sweep things under the rug. But we have to be honest, especially with our partner. But it's the fact that like not only was the bad thing done, like she potentially slept with somebody, she got a control in a party, she put herself in a position where she could have gotten really hurt or taken advantage of. And it's not only that, it's the fact that she was dishonest with him about how the night went. And then she was dishonest with him about who she was with. And it's just like, it really was like a snowball catching snow down the mountain. It just kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I feel as though like the different layers of lies and dishonesty and mistrust is going to absolutely kill this relationship for Ben, which is really sad because I feel like Ben was like such a good boyfriend, and yes, maybe he got like a little like mean in the hallway and didn't let her talk, but still he was feeling his feelings and he spent all that money on the ribs, but it turned out to be a book.
That was wild. And also, why the hell were they traveling through Texas when they were going from California or New York to California?
Oh, I mean, like, you can go.
Why are you going all, like, that doesn't really seem,
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So speaking about the party itself, this looked like so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this party looked really great. It seemed like they maybe had a signature cocktail. Mm. We had Javier cooking and they had to do something on the fly because, again, they didn't have the ribs. So Javier made this like pasta dish that did look quite good. I believe in Javier's cooking skills.
Yeah. I love a little pasta moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I loved this. This looked like a really, really fun party. I would have been here for it. And at said party, at first, I really thought we were going to get a Richard and Molly relationship. Like, I really thought that's what they were setting up here. They're both very much into Doctor Who. They love the Doctor Tom Baker, who I've seen some Doctor Who, but I haven't seen the older stuff, which is who Tom Baker is from. However, your friend and mine, Todd the Librarian, did say Tom Baker is very good. He has fond memories of him as the Doctor. So it seems like Richard and Molly have good taste. But it seems like maybe Molly is interested in Richard, but by what they're feeding us, it seems like Richard is not into women.
I mean, totally a surprise. Like, I kind of didn't really see this coming, but maybe this is why, like, Richard's, like, so invested in Noel and what Noel's doing all the time. I don't know. Like, I thought it was interesting. I mean, like, I'm here for it. I think that having a character that is LGBTQ plus is really great. We don't have that. Everybody that is on our screen is straight. So
as far as we know,
as far as we know. So I think it's like really nice to see, you know, a different storyline. So yeah, like I'm here for it. I think it'll be interesting to dig into. And once again, like I wasn't anticipating it. Any thoughts about Richard and like, you know, Richard's like maybe relationship with this like weird violin guy?
Obviously anytime we get representation on the show, I'm excited about it. I think this actually makes a lot of sense. Like, this feels to me like something where maybe they weren't seeding it in from season one. This isn't like Lost or something, right? Where they're like setting these clues up early on. However, I think it tracks. Like, if you were to go back and watch from season one again, I do think this makes sense. Specifically, like you said, I think there could have been where maybe he had a crush on Noel in the beginning, and maybe not. Maybe they were always just friends. But like, I think you could read it that way. And this was so funny because it really, in my opinion, came out of nowhere. Like, Noel has his new job. He's like IT guy. He's at this like frat guy's place. I think, was he one of the frat guys, right?
I didn't think so, but maybe.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe this bro, whoever, he's at his place trying to like fix things. This guy is, I loved Noel's approach where this guy is like obviously very into Noel, like setting up candles, like breaking his computer on purpose just to get Noel to come by. Really funny and very cute. Like, it feels like a really good way if you have a crush on your IT guy to like get them around more. Mm-hmm. And I love Noel just asking, do you have a crush on me? I love this. It would have been funny if the guy said no.
I was like, ew, what are you talking about? I just like candles.
And I love that we get Noel referencing being an RA and how like, oh, you can't have open flames. It's like, yeah, we remember, Noel. We remember the tree on fire.
I mean, everything's on fire. There's been a lot of fires.
Lots of fires. But yeah, and then, I mean, again, this is so subtle. And like in today's day and age, Sarah, this is not proof of sexuality at all. Of like, oh my God, Richard has a photo with this man. But like, obviously that's what they're seeding on the show. Mm-hmm. Here's what I hope. I just want Richard to feel comfortable enough to like talk to Noel about this. I hope Noel isn't as much of a buffoon as he was in the scene with Richard at the end. Like, I think there could be something. Yes.
Noel has a history with being a buffoon. His brother is gay. Yeah. Like, why is he like this? I don't think that Noel's necessarily a safe space. If I was Richard, I would open up to Sean. I think that they have a good budding friendship. I think that
did you see them dance at the party together, Sarah? They could be their true selves around each other.
Yeah, like I think that Sean, like through his like documentary and his ability to get people to open up, like I do think that Richard is probably more likely to open up to Sean than he is at Noel at this point. And deservingly so, because I don't understand, like, Noel has experience. I don't understand why, like, he wouldn't, learn from it previously and be and essentially been like, oh, that's cool. You know, like he just or just not act like an idiot is all I'm saying.
I agree with you. I do think at this point in the show, Richard and Sean are closer than Richard and Noel. But yeah, you're right. Like Noel's brother is gay. He's had an experience with like someone coming out to him. I hope that Richard feels comfortable coming out to anyone on the show. Like I want him to feel like he can trust his friends with this information. Mm-hmm. I like this. I like this for Richard. I think it gives him depth in a way we weren't getting before.
Oh, that too. Absolutely. Because I mean, like, what do we know about Richard? Richard likes
pizza.
He likes barbecues and fireworks.
He hates Felicity.
He does not like Felicity. Which honestly, I mean, if I was coming at like the perspective of like a bro, like one of the guys, I would probably understand. And I mean, what else? I'm not quite sure, but like he was just like the comic relief. And like, I would love to know more about Richard and Richard's past and everything like that.
Yeah, I agree. I thought originally we were going to get him and Molly together and that was going to bring out a more serious side to Richard. But I'm totally happy with the swerve that we got here. And that like Molly seems to be very into him. They seem to have a lot in common, specifically Doctor Who.
Oh,
and like,
my God.
Nothing brings people together like a fandom.
Yeah. I mean, like these dorks really got on. Like a TARDIS in the sun or whatever. I don't know.
Wow. I can tell you're such a big fan.
Huge fan, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like Tom Witherford. I don't know. That's probably a guy.
I mean, yeah. I'm sure that person exists somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into all the Sean and Megan stuff, let's talk about this like small conversation we have between Noel and Ben after Ben finds out about Felicity at the frat party, where Ben is at the bar, he's drinking, and Noel approaches him and says like, hey, I remember being in like a similar position, and if you push her away because of this like one mistake, you'll probably regret it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, fairly enough, Ben is like, bro, you dated her like 2 years ago, like stop. But also I kind of like that Noel was like reaching out in like a very friendly way to Ben. Cause I think they're friends at this point.
He tries. This is actually one of the first times from my memory that Noel went to Ben for like friend advice. Typically, I feel like Ben goes to Noel to console him and like tell him like, hey, like I can relate to you. And then Noel is usually like a pissy bitch about it and is like, you don't know me. You don't know my situation.
Remember? I hate you, Ben. I've always hated you and I always will.
Like I'm thinking back to the time where Ben dealt with like getting a girl pregnant in high school and going to Noel and being like, I can empathize with you. I like understand. And Noel just being like such a little bitch to him. Like, I feel like this is like kind of big of Noel for him to go to Ben, because historically it's just been a one-sided feud this whole time, right? Like Ben has never really cared about Noel or what Noel does, but Noel is very pressed about everything that Ben does.
Yes.
Of course, Ben, funnily enough, like when Noel comes to him, he's resistant to this. He's like, well, just because you guys dated for a freaking minute and a half doesn't mean that you know everything about Felicity and I. So it's kind of funny how like it's just like one of those things, like two ships passing in the night, like they can't get on the same page for their friendship. It just like very, very, very much reminds me of a Joey and Jen friendship, where because there's Dawson as like a common denominator, these two women will never be friends. Like, even if like Jen tried a billion times with Joey, and the one time like Joey tried with Jen, Jen was like, fuck you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Which is like, oh, like, why I even try? So I think that these two, like, it's going to be really hard for them to find something that they connect on. Of course, we do have like the basketball moments, and that's good. But in terms of like a real genuine friendship where they are each other's like number one sounding board, I don't really know. I think that that's why Noel typically has Richard and Ben typically has Sean. I think that that's mm-hmm. the places where they're able to open up to another guy. But I mean, like, I'm hopeful. I do think that as the seasons progress, I think that the triangle is going to get more and more sharp. The angles are going to be more acute. I guess
the question mark at the end of that.
I'm not into geometry, but
I agree. I like what Noel is trying to do when he's saying like she wouldn't have done that if she wasn't drunk. Like, she made a mistake. It's not about you. We've all done dumb things like that. I think. Right, they got drunk together and beat the shit out of each other. Like, they've done dumb drunk things. I just think I think Noel caught Ben at the wrong moment to try to give him sage advice. You know, I feel like Ben is in a mood where he doesn't want to hear that you should forgive her. He doesn't want to hear, oh, she didn't mean to. And I think he probably especially doesn't want to hear it from Noel, because to Ben's point, they haven't dated in a very long time. And also, I'm not exactly sure what Noel means by, as your friend, I don't want to see you make the same mistake that I did. Because I'm not exactly sure what mistake he's referencing. Like, I don't think it's losing Felicity, because for all we know, he's happily dating Natalie. No? Like, maybe she's still at Oktoberfest, I guess?
I mean, they're barely happy. I think that it is... I'm really trying to remember. Basically, Noel chose Jennifer Garner over Felicity. And I think that maybe he regrets that. And I think that he feels as though, like, if he swerved, that maybe they would still be together today. So maybe he's saying, like, don't get in your own way when it comes to Felicity. Like, you'll regret it in the future if you let her go. But I also think that it's not an apples to apples comparison, because from my recollection, Felicity, the only thing that Felicity did in terms of like doing Noel wrong is not going to Berlin or wherever the fuck they went to, Germany, Munich, something like that. Because like, I can't remember, Felicity didn't cheat on Noel. Noel cheated on Felicity, essentially. Right? Like, Noel never had the choice of like, do I forgive Felicity or do I not? Except for the Germany thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was just an interesting sentence, I thought, you know, especially considering, again, we haven't seen Natalie in a couple episodes, but as far as we understand, they are together and she is in October or Oktoberfest or something like that.
I think that Noel's always going to see Felicity as the one that got away.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Like, his, not his first love, because that was Jennifer Garner, but like his first like adult love, I guess. Or like, yeah, the one that got away. Okay, let's talk about Sean. I do want to give like a quick content warning that like we are going to briefly touch on the possibility of cancer here if people are like uncomfortable listening to that. I really did not expect this storyline to go where it went, Sarah. Like, I thought this was going to be a case of Sean's being a little bit of a baby. Like, I honestly thought it could be like an STD. I don't know how STDs work in men or like people with testicles. Like, I don't know if your testicles get sore if you have an STD or something. But Sean is freaking out immediately because one of his testicles is sore. And I'm not going to hate on Sean for this. I would be the same way. Like, I would be freaking out.
Okay. I have a question. The Noel and Ben were being so mean to Sean about like not hearing him out about his concerns. Jess, I will say right now, if you think you have like a lump or something anywhere in your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, I will look at it.
I will too.
If it's literally in your vagina, I will look and I will tell you.
Mm-hmm. I would do the same thing for you. Yeah. I really hated what not only were Noel and Ben like basically saying that Sean was gross, but they also were like laughing at him. And yeah. I was really upset for Sean in that moment because I'm like, even if you think it's funny and you don't take it seriously, look at his face. Like, he's terrified. You should be taking him seriously.
I couldn't even say the word testicles. It's like, you
come on,
an adult man at this point. You are at least nearly 20. Noel's older than 20. And you can't say the word testicles?
Get out of here. Yeah.
Me? Are you joking?
Yeah. It's not like he was like, oh, my gonads or my nutsack or like anything like that. You know, he was saying the doctor term.
Even so, it's literally just like a body part.
And you have the same body parts. Like, that's what's the dumbest part of this whole thing. And so Sean is like really scared. And what's worse is now he's trying to hide it from Megan because he like, I think at least from my perspective, what it seemed like was Sean is like, oh, well, this isn't sexy. Like, this is like, no, my girlfriend doesn't want to hear about this. It's not sexy at all to tell her my testicle hurts.
Well, I think it's that. And I also think that he's using an experience that he had with Megan in regards to the nose, where like she was basically like, you are being a baby bitch. And he's like, oh, because Megan's really cool and she's tough and like, you know, I feel as though if I come to her with this issue, especially after his friends made fun of him, like, he doesn't want to come off as like a little whiny baby. Plus, it's the whole men really like to typically hide their ailments. They're not open because they have to seem like big, strong, manly men that can like go and like catch a steak in the, you know, in the woods.
A steak in the woods.
Yeah. I think that.
I know my man loves to go steak hunting.
I don't know much about hunting or whatever, but I'm pretty sure there's just free reign fillets out in the wild.
And yeah. You have to work extra hard to get the medium rare ones because most of them are either well done or rare.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and like, I don't know if you catch it with a net or with like a fishing pole, but
Will likes to go out with a bow and arrow, but I know that's not for everyone.
That's really advanced. But so I know that he's like trying to come off as like a big manly man and not like a little wussy baby, but like, we can't play with like lumps and bumps, especially in the ball.
And so I was so proud of him when he went to the doctor, because in my opinion, that's like the biggest hurdle, especially like we've said, for men who don't want. I mean, my dad is this way. I know most people in general, not just men, just don't want to go to the doctor because it's like, oh, what I don't know can't hurt me. Like, I don't want the bad news. Well, that's really not how that works. But I was so happy. I was so proud of him when he actually went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, okay, well, I'm going to give you some antibiotics, but out of an abundance of caution, let's also do an ultrasound. And I was so mad at Sean when he's like, no, I don't need it. It's just an infection. It's fine. I'm leaving. Oh, I was so mad at him.
I mean, this is just like the shit that my dad did when he found out that he had kidney disease. Like, he buried it a little bit as well. It's just like such a guy thing. Like, it's a human thing as well. Like, I don't know. I myself had like, hyperparathyroidism. And I was told like 3 years prior to me getting retested for it that like my levels were elevated. And I was like, oh, this seems like an, you know, like a small potatoes problem. And then like 3 years later, I get retested and it's like, hi, you should really get surgery and get some of your parathyroids out. I'm like, no, I'm like, but my life is fine. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I really do.
And no one likes going to the doctor. No one likes getting bad news at the doctor. Mm-hmm. No one likes to have to hear like, hey, we want to do an ultrasound on you. Well,
yeah. So he has to get this ultrasound. It's so scary. And in the meantime, he is avoiding having sex with Megan. And this relationship was built on the foundation of lust and fucking. And since the chemistry is not meeting up, so it seems anymore, Megan's freaking out. She's like, he's not attracted to me anymore. He doesn't like me anymore. Maybe he's cheating on me. Maybe I'm gross. Maybe like he has an STD, which means he's definitely cheating on me. And then finally, she was just like, oh, like this is a you problem. What is your problem? And then he finally talks to her at this birthday party, which is probably not appropriate, but and it's like, hi, hello, this is my problem. And I love how like Megan's just like a concerned girlfriend is just like, okay, like that's so silly that you like didn't want to tell me that. She's like, of course I care about you. Like, I don't think that's funny. And I love that she validated the fact that like, it's not funny. I take it seriously. I care about you. Tell me what else the doctor said. And he kind of admits that like the doctor wants him to go to an ultrasound and but he doesn't want to. And then she kind of gets like a little mad because she's like, you are an idiot for not telling me. And you're even more of an idiot for not listening to the doctor and getting this checked out. But ultimately, this convinces him to go and he gets the MRI. There's definitely some sort of mass that he's going to have to get taken out to see if it's a benign tumor or malignant. And I wouldn't be surprised if it is malignant just because I don't
Julie's
know.
Gone, so we have to torture someone. And Sean is the next victim.
Like, I guess
this was devastating to me, mostly because like cancer stuff is difficult for me, but also in my opinion Sean is one of the more lighthearted, fun-loving characters. And to have him going through something as serious as a potential cancer diagnosis was just like so unfun and so difficult. I will say, to back up like a smidgen, I thought that I loved Megan's response to everything going on with Sean. I know it maybe wasn't like the perfect response. Obviously, it varies person to person, whether or not like tough love or like a more soft approach is what would work. But I think I would react the exact same way as Megan did, which is don't call me until you're ready to go to the doctor because I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not playing this game with you. Like, I'm not playing the game where I'm with you and you have something that could be really scary and you're not going to go get it looked at. Like, you're being dumb. Like, I'm not saying it's the perfect response because it wouldn't be for everyone. But I appreciated that she was so tough on him, especially when he comes over to her place and she's like, this isn't the same as what the heck was she talking about? There was some other thing.
The nose job. It was right. Like, it had to do with the nose job.
Right. She's like, this isn't the same. Like, this could be serious and you're being stupid and I will go with you to the doctor. Like, I loved that. And I love that she was there for him, right? She walks in the door after he's had the ultrasound and gotten some bad news. And she sits next to him and holds his hand. Like, I'm at least, if Sean is going to have to go through something like this, at least he has Megan there as a support. Because as much as Megan can sometimes be a little snippy and a little rough around the edges with her friends, she is fucking loyal to the soil. And like, she will be there for him. I 1000% believe that.
I do too.
I'm happy that he has her, but like, gosh, I really thought it was just going to be like, oh, it's an STD or it's like, he has an infection. Like, I thought it was going to be as simple as that. Ingrown hair. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not super surprised. But I mean, if anything, I feel as though this is just going to strengthen the bond between these two characters, which I do think that ultimately, although I wouldn't have the approach of being like, if you're not going to deal with this, then I'm not going to be here for you. Fuck you, essentially. Like, I would never do that. Like, it's just not my approach. I handle these types of things like a delicate little baby. And I'll be like, you're going to be okay. I love you. I'm here no matter what. That's just how I am. But I think that it was the push that he needed to take it seriously. And I think that ultimately, like, her being like, I will be there for you really made the difference. And the fact that, like, he asked the doctor to, like, let her in so that they can talk and he can just, like, hold her hand was really, really sweet. Like, I'm really, really loving this couple. And so much so, like, I'm about to be, like, very precious about them. Like, if something happens to them, I feel as though I have potential to get really bummed out about it. So I'm hoping that that's not the case, but I feel as though they're really just sweet. And I think, like, he deserves this. Like, he's a good guy. Like, he's a really good guy. And she, like, he brings out, like, a side of her that is, like, really, really sweet. Like, she has it. Like, she is sweet-ish. Like, it just takes a little bit. Like, it just, yeah. She really, really, really cares about the people that she cares about. And I really love Megan when this, like, candy coating of hers is cracked open. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like it, and I really care for them as a couple. So I'm really hopeful that they don't break each other's little hearts somehow. But yeah, I'm hopeful. Like, I mean, like, obviously Sean's going to be fine. Like, I do think that the cancer will probably be a storyline that carries out throughout the season. But I think that he's going to pull through, and he can live with one ball. That's fine.
Certainly. Yeah.
The doctor said the other one is a very healthy specimen.
Listen, if Steve from Sex and the City can live with one ball, so can Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have Brady. Did Brady come before or after?
After, because he was after. The miracle baby, because Miranda had one non-functioning ovary. And lazy ovary, I think is what they called it. And then Steve only had one ball. So Brady was a miracle baby.
And to be a miracle baby, and he still had red hair.
Stop. Miranda had red hair. Of course he had red hair.
Seems like a curse, if you ask me. But
oh my gosh. Anything else about this episode before we get into some feedback?
No, I thought that it was good. I mean, like, I thought that the Javier, like, bringing Felicity and Ben together and trying was very sweet. Obviously, it wasn't going to work out this time. And nothing really from Elena. Elena was just bopping, right?
She was just bopping at the party. Yeah. A surprise party never fails to disappoint on these teen TV, on these teen dramas. So I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was, like, a really fun mix of fun, drama, a little bit of chaos. Like, it was a good time overall.
Mm-hmm. A chaos demon.
We did get, so Emily did have some things to say. I have a question for you. Do you think that Noel and Ben look at all alike?
No,
I don't think so either. My other question is, Emily says Noel looks exactly like Felicity's dad, which I feel like they're just white men with brown hair.
Yes, they're all just white men with brown hair, which is fair. I think that probably all white people probably do look the same pretty much.
It's true.
So
also I did
God, you know what happened to me the other day?
What?
Okay, so I was at this event and somebody, like, kind of comes up to me and she goes, "Hey girl, how you doing?
And she thought you were someone else.
Yeah. But then I was like, I'm good. How are you? And I thought that she was just being like friendly because this was like kind of like a meet and greet. So I was like, okay, like maybe she's just like really enthusiastic yeah. meeting new people. And she's like, I haven't seen you in so long. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm brand new, so I don't think that I'm who you think that I am. I said, like, I have one of those faces, I guess. And she's like, oh, she was so embarrassed.
That's hilarious.
I matched her energy. I was like, hey, how you doing? And Adam was like, I thought that that was somebody from, like, your sorority or from, like, Stitch Club or something. And I was like, no, like, I don't know who that bitch is. But I'll say hi to her.
Poor lady.
Yeah. But I guess I just look like every other white person. It's
you
fine.
Look like every other blonde haired, blue eyed girl, I guess. Yeah,
I guess so.
One other thing that we didn't chat about, but I thought was funny, was Megan being like, I knew something was up because of this tarot card.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The tarot card told her that, like, I don't know, somebody has information, but they're not dealing with it.
It was like the emperor or something.
So the emperor, because I thought like the emperor has no clothes. So I do remember it being the emperor now that you say that.
Yeah.
And she's like, I knew that you were, I don't know, like somebody. I did think that it was interesting. Like, I feel as though Molly and Megan are in the Venn diagram of life, probably have like more in common. Like,
yes.
Just with the spiritual witchy type
witchiness
stuff.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like, are we able to like not come up with like a different archetype for a new character? Like, of course, Molly.
We could have had a sporty girl. We don't have anybody who's sporty.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like, Ben plays basketball.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like, I don't know, like Molly is so strange to me. I guess she's like kind of dorky. Oh, no, not this again. Dork geek.
No, we can't do the dork geek nerd thing again.
Because I guess like Molly's more of a geek, and then that means that Elena's more of a nerd.
Yeah.
So, and then like Megan's kind of a freak, and then Felicity's kind of a loser. So, and I don't know who's a dork. Maybe Richard.
I'm not quite sure. Richard or Noel.
Yeah. So I guess they're different, but I don't know. Like I said, like in the Venn diagram, like they're, I would expect them to like hang out more, but like it's not really happening super a lot. Molly talked about astrology a little bit today, which
Felicity's a Scorpio.
Sure. Yeah.
I could see her being a water sign. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I only have room in my life for one Scorpio at a time. They take up a lot of energy and space. They need a lot of reassurance and love. But I do love my friend who's a Scorpio a lot. Mm-hmm. And she knows it. I sent her a birthday card.
That's so nice.
But I send everybody a birthday card. But I especially send her a birthday card.
You extra send it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into some feedback. Let's hear what DBK has to say about this episode.
What up, though, ladies? A pretty drama-filled episode for you, so I think you probably enjoyed this one. We get Sean with some nut problems.
DBK!
Felicity and Randy drama. We get Richard and Molly possibly hook it up, and then he gets scared away. His enemies are everywhere. He's got to look out. Yeah. It's like... He can't have a sex scandal, guys. And then he's maybe student he'll body have president. Some other type of scandal. Who knows? Who knows? So you guys tell me, because I only know like stuff about my own astrology sign. Is Felicity like a typical Scorpio, or is she not like a typical Scorpio? And then Ben's just acting like a jackass this episode. I don't really know how you can be on Ben's side in this episode. That's about it. Till next week, ladies. Peace.
So Scorpios have the emotions of a water sign, but the intensity of a fire sign. So they are emotional, but they lead typically with anger first and then like are kind of a little like emotional. They are a jealous people. They are possessive people. They are great in bed. That's mm-hmm. something about Scorpio.
And notoriously, Scorpio Venuses love super hard. So I don't know if Felicity's Venus is in Scorpio, mm-hmm. but I guess I can kind of see her as a Scorpio. I guess I can really see her as a water sign. I don't think she is as fiery as Scorpios can be.
Yeah. So like Scorpio personality traits, obsessive. I guess she can be a little obsessive.
I mean, she did move to New York to follow Ben.
Emotional.
Yes.
Secretive. I don't think she's very secretive. I think she has verbal like
diarrhea. Yeah. She wants to say everything.
Temperamental. Not like Julie was temperamental and not like Noel's temperamental.
I agree with that.
Moody. Yeah. Same thing. Not like Noel and not like Julie.
Right.
Honest. Yes.
Yeah.
Loyal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say. No, I mean, I would still say yes, generally. Yes.
Ambitious. Yes.
Yes.
Direct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Brave. I think yes.
Yeah. I think all these fit.
Yeah. So I think that she'd be a Scorpio. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in terms of like being on Ben's side, I think I wouldn't say I'm on Ben's side as much as like I understand where Ben is coming from. I think he blew up a little bit too much at Felicity, like I said before, at the apartment. But I understand him being upset, especially being lied to after throwing a massive, super cool party.
coolest party ever.
Such a cool party. No ribs, but still a great party. All right, let's see what Temi has to say about this episode.
Hi, ladies. Epistemology, it's the philosophical study of knowledge or the theory of knowledge, how people come to know things. It deals with truth, beliefs, and reason. It was Felicity's class that she was going to at the beginning of the episode when she was in bed with Ben, and they kind of dealt with it in Dr. Pavone's class and also with Felicity's search for the truth about what happened at the frat house. So this is an imagined change of the scene between Dr. Pavone and Felicity. Will you listen to me? I'm trying to give you a license to lie. A lying license. Lies by omission, well-crafted lies. You can do it all. Just as long as you're not unkind. I'm so sorry. But why were you quiet just now? That silence represents what I really think of you. I was just thinking it. Now our session is done. I have to go to the cleaners. Okay. So also in that beginning scene with Ben and Felicity, Ben wrapped his gift to Felicity in newspaper. What do you think about that? Do you have any fun wrapping tips, memories, or traditions as we near the winter holiday season? And do you like nuts on your ice cream? Me, I like a cashew, a pecan.
Ooh.
I like Dairy Queen. Thanks. Bye.
DQ. I mean, like we talked about this. I think that Tony Pavone gave horrible advice. I think that, yes, you have to be kind, but also in this particular situation, it's like, I don't know yourself. Like Felicity was never going to be able to keep this a secret from Ben. She was spewing, really wanting to reveal all of these feelings and secrets. I also think that, I don't know. That was just such bad advice. Tony Pavone needs to be fired, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Temi is reading deeper into the show than I've read into any show. I had no idea about episcopology. That's not what he said. I don't know what the word was. But in terms of rapping, I think newspaper is totally fine. The only downside is that like you could get like the ink on your fingers, which I wouldn't like. I am very pro recyclable wrapping paper. So not the plastic coated stuff. But I personally, I've always wanted to, I haven't yet, but I have wanted to adapt doing more like fabric wrapping because it's reusable from year to year. And I've always wanted to try it. I have adopted more of like those reusable like wrap boxes that are like decorated. Again, just for like reusability and sustainability, stuff like that. So that's usually my preferred style. Sarah definitely goes way more all out than I do when it comes to wrapping things, though.
Yeah, I really love wrapping. It's one of my passions. I like everything to be like, I typically back in my heyday would go to TJ Maxx or Home Goods or Marshall's and get like 5 different wrapping papers from there that kind of were all cohesive in the same color family. And then I would do ribbon, and then sometimes I would do like little ornament baubles and tie that up, and then like specific tags. I really like to make a really pretty presentation with my wrapping. So it's one of my passions. It's one of the things I'm good at. I'm a over taper. That's also some of the things that I wind up doing. I think that's very admirable, Jessica, that you want to save the environment. I just want to have a pretty Christmas. So
that's fair enough.
That's essentially what it is. And then in terms of ice cream, I do like a pecan and I do like a cashew, but in terms of ice cream, typically if I'm going to get a topping, I like a peanut butter sauce. Like I love a vanilla ice cream, plain vanilla, melted peanut butter on top.
But yeah, I'm not a nut person on my ice cream. I don't want nuts anywhere near my ice cream. I don't want something crunchy in my ice cream.
You think that Temi asked us about nuts because of the Sean situation?
Certainly hope not.
I kind of feel like he did.
Did they have ice cream on the episode?
No, it's just about nuts.
Temi, if that's why you asked, you have to tell us. You have to tell us next week.
Yeah.
You have to.
I think I'm in on the joke. I think I get it.
It's possible.
Are you a balls girl?
Am I a what?
Yeah. Do you like baseballs or volleyballs better?
I like kickballs the best.
Yeah. And you like holding them in your hand?
I mean, you'd have to use 2 hands because they're pretty big kickballs. We also got an email from Jamie. So after my critique of season 3 last week, I will say this episode is by far the best episode of season 3 so far. I might agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, Jamie.
I still think the show is focused way more on plot than on character, but at least in this episode, it was actually entertaining. I thought Ben was super adorable trying to give Felicity a great birthday. He tried to get ribs from a place she loved on their road trip. He tried to bake her a cake himself. That was very cute. I have a bit of a conspiracy theory. Ben was trying to get Felicity ribs from a place they ate on their road trip together. You know, the road trip Felicity chose to go on with Ben instead of Berlin with Noel. Am I the only one thinking Noel sabotaged the rib order on purpose?
I didn't think about this, but now it totally makes sense. How did the book come here? But also, why is Ben not able to fucking order his own thing online? That was a little pathetic. But I think that you could be onto something, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Especially because how does a book show up instead of ribs? Like, that's not even close.
Wait, I love when Noel was like, I ordered ribs, not book, ribs. I thought that was such a funny line. Mm-hmm. How he didn't say like, oh, like I didn't order ribs, I ordered ribs, not book, ribs. I loved that line delivery. It just cracks me up. Now I kind of really want ribs.
Okay, well, there you go. Tomorrow, dinner. Go fetch one in the woods. Jamie continues, I hated how at the party the naked picture of Felicity popped right before Ben was about to give a speech. I would have loved to hear Ben's Felicity birthday speech. I'm sure it would have been super sweet and way better than the one he gave Julie in season 1. Yes.
Why do all he said was happy speeches? Birthday, yeah, why do we have to be given speeches on birthdays anyway?
I think it's like whoever is throwing the party has to give the speech.
Do you believe in this? I've never heard of a birthday
speech. No, I think it's a television show thing, though.
Do you want to give me a birthday speech?
I don't think it would live up to your standards.
Oh, man.
Other thoughts on the episode. I wish the show would have explored Dr. Pavone's theory of someone possibly slipping something in her drink and possibly she could have been violated. Also, I'm curious what you ladies think of Randy. I sort of get the feeling he might actually like Felicity. He seemed a little disappointed when he learned Felicity had a boyfriend.
Randy definitely liked Felicity. Randy, aside from the fact that he was lying to the bros, it was kind of like, you know, locker room talk, essentially. He seemed like a good guy. And if he really did just like put her to bed, then that was very gentlemanly of him, I guess.
I mean, the bar is super low. We're like, wow, he didn't take advantage of a drunk girl. Hooray.
Yeah, I know.
Although we've seen it not happen that way in the past. But yeah, I definitely think he at least thought Felicity was cute, right? Like at the bare minimum, I think he was interested in like at least making out with her.
She is cute sometimes.
What do we think about her hair? Emily had noticed that her hair is almost good at this point.
Yeah, I would say that that's an accurate description. Almost good.
I think so. I agree too. Yeah. And then Jamie also wanted us to note, Sarah, you were correct. Sally was Felicity's French tutor.
I'm a genius.
So there you go.
And that's why Felicity sucks at French now. She can't speak it. She was never like Felicity was like gang into Stanford, straight A student, sucked at French. Really, really, really sucked at French.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She needed Sally. Now she has no Sally because she stopped writing to Sally. Yeah, Sally is going tapes to the mailbox every single day.
Nothing's there.
Waiting for the tape. Like, oh, maybe today. Maybe.
Why is that her voice?
It's her voice. Maybe today I smoked a pack a day.
I mean, that's why we don't hear from her anymore, because Felicity was like, I don't want to listen to that voice anymore.
She's like, today I'm going to get a letter from Felicity. And then she's like, not today. And then she goes just back to her mail, her house. She just like waits for the mailman like I do every day. She's like, hello, Mr. Mailman.
You wait for the mailman every day?
So I don't have much in this life, but I do have.
But you do have mail?
I have mail. So my window looks out to the street. And when Jeremy comes to come in, you can
hear your mailman's name?
Yes, of course. I hear Jeremy's little car from like down the block. And I listen. And then when he comes up to my mailbox, he doesn't get out of the car because he just like buzzes along in his car and then puts all the mail in the mailboxes. I watch him every day. It's a highlight. And also, when the garbage comes, oh, high entertainment. This is suburban life, baby.
I don't even know what to say to any of them. I couldn't tell you my mail person's name. And I don't watch them deliver the mail. Anyway, that's this episode. Next week. Oh, we should give out an award. I feel like I want to give the point to Ben. He threw like such a nice surprise party. Oh, or Megan. Oh, who do we want to give it to?
I feel like we should give it to Ben.
Okay. Ben gets the point this episode. Next week, season 3, episode 6. I feel like this is such a spoiler for what's going to happen, but that's fine. One ball, two strikes.
Wow. They're going to go to the baseball game.
Yeah, or one of Sean's balls is going to be taken away.
You only need one, I think.
I mean, you really technically don't need either, but like to live, but to have children, sure. One ball will suffice. Anyway, that's the episode. @Shit90sPod. If you want to hit us up, we are on Blue Sky, @Shit90sPod on Instagram. Follow along, shit90spod@gmail.com. If you want to send us in any feedback, we love to get it. If you send us in a voicemail, of course, we will also play that on the podcast because we just love hearing from you folks. It's a highlight of our day. Sarah, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we'll be back next week with season 3, episode 6. And until then, everyone, have a good one. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.